Hi, I'm Kathy Forstey, music director at KC Cafe Radio. We're very happy to have James Woolwine as a KC Cafe Radio artist. We're proud to be playing songs from his album Solo Piano Destruction on KC Cafe Radio. James started playing piano at the age of 7 years old. He was instantly drawn to the sound of classical music and composing himself. And by his teens, he felt the urge to rock and roll and started playing the guitar. And then he entered college at the Berklee College of Music as a guitar major. After college, he worked with several bands and began collaborating with other songwriters. Now James has produced his own album of solo piano music called Solo Piano Destruction. Thanks, James, so much for taking the time to talk with me today here on KC Cafe Radio.
My pleasure, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
It's really cool to finally get to talk to you in person. I really am intrigued by the cover of your CD. It's got a really cool, like a comic book kind of cover to it. The guy like standing on a piano and destroying a piano. Where did you get the idea for this album cover and the album title?
I wanted to make a bold artistic statement, and I just spent a lot of time brainstorming what would be something that would do that and be kind of funny because I've got a sense of humor. And so I wanted to sort of evoke a sort of action hero movie poster. And I have a friend who's an artist who could do something like that for me.
Mm-hmm. It was very cool. So do you have the six-pack abs that your character does on your album cover?
Great question. Unfortunately, no. There was artistic license that he took, but I didn't argue with him once he added those in there.
Yeah. Well, it's a great album cover, and it's very eye-catching, and I think people would look at the album just for that alone, I would think. As a multi-instrumentalist, why did you decide to have your first album as a piano instrumental album?
Practicality. It was the easiest thing to record and the cheapest. So that's what I went with. And hopefully other music can be recorded in the near future.
And so you started playing the piano at the age of 7. What drew you to playing the piano? Why did you decide to play piano at the age of 7?
Yeah, it's too bad my mom isn't here. She'd love to tell you this story more eloquently than I can. But I always loved music. I actually started piano when I was 6 because my mom played a little, and I was always kind of drawn to it, trying to do it myself. And we had a teacher who lived locally. She signed me up, and I actually wasn't ready at 6, but I went back a year later, and I just took to it. I always loved it. I became a total nerd for classical music right away. And with the exception of a little wavering in my teenage years, I was pretty much always on top of music. I mean, I have been ever since. Yeah, it was just something in me. Wanted to do that.
So your mom was a pianist?
She played a little and sung in choir. So she was certainly my first musical influence.
Mm-hmm. So was your family musical at all?
Not really. Not beyond her. I mean, her influence. That was really it. My father had a guitar in the closet, but I can count on one hand the number of times I saw him play it. But when I picked up guitar, eventually that was the one I played on. But really, my mother was it. And otherwise, I was drawn to it myself.
Were you like listening to classical music at that time? Were you watching things on television that were influencing you, or listening to radio that was influencing you?
My first musical memory is Bruce Springsteen. I loved him. I was too young to comprehend him or what he was saying. I just liked the sounds he made.
Mm-hmm.
My parents didn't really listen to popular music. My mother really only listened to classical, so that's all I heard, and that's what my teacher was showing me. So to me, that was music, and I just kind of accepted that and fell in love with that. So for my very young years, that's all I did, which made me very odd to my friends.
Yeah. So at what point did you turn this love of piano into composing yourself?
You know, I had the composing bug pretty early on. I started reading about the composers I was playing, so you know, Mozart and Beethoven, and then I just said, well, I want to write my own music, and I that urge was always there. I think I wrote my first piece when I was in third grade for this little contest, and I actually won that little contest, and I might even still have that piece somewhere, but yeah, I always had that urge. I didn't want to just play other people's music. I wanted to write my own.
Mm-hmm. So what was the piece that you wrote?
Oh, that was, let's see, that was for this contest called, I think it was called the Reflections Contest. This was in Roanoke, Virginia, where I grew up. And there had different categories. So it's a music category, and they always had, they had it every year. They had a theme, and whatever category you do something. So the theme that year was Where Does the Sky End? And I wrote a little terrible song and with words, and I wouldn't play it now, but I had to start somewhere.
Yeah. So growing up in Roanoke, was there like a big music community at that time there that you got into, or was it mostly just you and your teacher?
There's some kind of musical community, but I was not a part of it. My musical education was strictly private lessons with my teacher up until I started playing guitar at 16. And then it was private lessons with that teacher. But I never did anything else. It was just classical private lessons. And so when I later on went to play in groups, and especially when I got to Berkeley, I had a real eye-opening experience that there was more music in the world than what I had learned.
And so you took up guitar when you were a teenager. What influenced you to do that?
Well, once I hit puberty and was a teenager, classical music started to get a little boring, and it wasn't like the things I was beginning to listen to on the radio, because, you know, eventually I branched out away from classical music and wanted to hear more rock and stuff. So all the music I started listening to was guitar music, and I finally realized I can't do what I want to do with piano, because piano isn't doing this stuff. There's, you know, I was listening to Van Halen, and I got back into Springsteen and U2, and then I got into blues and heavy metal, and piano wasn't going to cut it. So guitar had to happen.
Yeah. Well, piano's always been a big part of rock and roll. Early rock and roll was very piano heavy, with, you know, like Fats Domino and people like that. So
it was, I explored a little bit of that as I discovered it. And I remember I took some music like that to my teacher, but she was a wonderful teacher, but strictly classical. She really didn't know how to present rock and roll to me. So I didn't really push it. And then I started guitar, and that satisfied that urge.
Yeah. So did, I guess probably playing rock on the piano didn't feel as natural to you. It was maybe playing it on the guitar.
Yes, I guess you could say that. And even now, I am really not a rock piano player. I can kind of fake it if I have to, but I don't advertise myself as that. It just wouldn't be true.
You were talking about playing rock and roll like Van Halen. I know that you went to school to play guitar whenever you went to college. So what were you learning in college guitar-wise?
One thing I liked about the curriculum at Berkeley was they don't push styles so much. I mean, they do lean towards certain styles, but they don't really push a style. They just present information that you digest and use the way you want in whatever style you want. So you can kind of go in whatever direction you want musically. You just learn the fundamentals that they show you. So I just learned all the fundamentals. And the curriculum is definitely very jazz heavy there, because that's kind of the foundation of the school. I struggled with that and still do. I'm not really a jazz person. But you can find whatever your musical inclination is, you can find an outlet for it. And when I went to Berkeley, my goal was to form the next great heavy metal band. And I immediately found people who also wanted to do that. So that was my focus for my first 2 years there.
What kind of guitar were you playing? What brand were you playing? Like Les Paul or what?
I bought my first electric was a Fender Strat when I was 16 or 17. And that was my only instrument, because I couldn't afford any others.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, I still have that Strat. So it's a great instrument, although I haven't played it in years. And I eventually upgraded to a 7-string. At Berkeley, I really wanted one. Those were kind of new at the time and the thing. So I got a cheap one. I still have that too, actually. But I've never really been a gear nut or specific about brands or models. I was always taught, and I believe, that you'll sound good on anything if you're good. So I always just focused on trying to play well and not worrying so much about gear.
Yeah. I'm a kind of a gearhead because I work in a music store. So I kind of like, I'm always interested in knowing what people play, what instruments they were into and stuff. So.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So being into heavy metal and stuff, how did you get from being into heavy metal into what you're doing now? There's a big transition there.
Well, in some ways, my musical palette has always been broad. Well, actually, no, not all right. Not all. When I was little, it was classical. That expanded into rock. It's as I've gotten older, it's broadened, and I've never lost touch with anything that was on there. So let's see how to answer the question. I'm actually still into heavy metal. I haven't lost that. Part of me still wants to form the next great metal band, but what I'm doing now is a lot. Someone's just out of practicality. Playing with other musicians can be, it's wonderful when it goes well, but it's very frustrating when it doesn't. In my experiences, it's often been more on the frustrating side, and I realize I can work more effectively on my own. And I also don't always like to, I enjoy collaborating sometimes, and other times I don't want to compromise on what I want to create. So certainly this album is me doing my thing, and it's purely for me with no one else's input, creating the kind of piano music that I want to hear, which is mixing all the styles that I like and not being too much pigeonholed into any one genre. And when I'm doing that, I play guitar as well, and I love that. And I've become sort of a singer-songwriter, also kind of out of practicality. I needed gigs, and people want to hear you sing, or they're not going to hire you. So I kind of started doing that.
So being a pianist and a guitarist, has there been like a song that you've started writing on one instrument and decided, hey, this would sound better on guitar rather than piano? Have you ever done that?
Frequently. A lot of my piano compositions started out on guitar, and then I would run into limitations and so would go to piano. And sometimes I'd say, I'm just going to work it out. But then usually once it gets started, it stays there. So I have had to force myself to stay with the guitar if I want to write for that instrument. And sometimes it'll go the other way, but not as often.
Yeah. Is there any examples of that on this album or?
There are. I'm trying to think. Yeah, the song Restless, that was going to be a guitar piece and didn't stay that way very long. The song From Andy, I mean, it was inspired by guitar music, and that was going to be a guitar piece, but that didn't stay that way very long.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Accident is a guitar piece. I do a guitar version of that. I never wanted to make it for one instrument or the other, so I just do it on both.
Yeah, I like that song a lot. That's a good one.
Thank you.
On the album, Solo Piano Destruction, you use both your classical background and your contemporary background in music. And a good example of that is the new Bach Etude. Tell me about that composition and why you included that on the album.
I don't really listen to a lot of New Age music, but I met a New Age artist who was also producing and offered to produce an album for me, and that ended up not going anywhere. But I was just coming out of that thinking maybe I should listen to more New Age and write in that style and just explore that. So that's kind of where that came from. But I also like classical music. I was listening to a lot of Bach at the time and thought, well, let me just try to kind of mix these up and put my own spin on that.
I like that one too. And tell me about the song Meadows of Dan.
Okay, that one's cool. Well, they're all cool, but that one's got a cool story. So I woke up, I dreamed the melody. I do that sometimes, and I'm not making that up. I dream music sometimes, and usually I forget it when I wake up. But that one I didn't. I woke up with that melody, and I went and worked it out. And it was an attempt to write something that was very technically simple. I had a good melody, and I didn't want to clutter it up too much. I had a very smart aleck name for it because I often give songs smart aleck names. I called it Afro for Ashukin's Farewell ripoff because it sounds like that song. And my mom hated that title. She loved the song, hated the title, and says, you need, don't call it that. That's awful. So she came up with Meadows of Dan because she said it reminded her of a place in Virginia called Dan that has pretty meadows. So it's her title, and I figure she's awesome and has always been my biggest fan. So the least I can do is let her name my song.
Yeah, well, that's nice. That's a nice tribute to her. You also do really cool covers. Like you do a cover of Firework by Katy Perry and also Teenage Dream.
Yes.
Tell me about why, for one thing, why Katy Perry? And for another reason, you know, how do you decide on the covers that you do?
Good question. Well, you know, I don't do a lot of covers, and I'm not a huge Katy Perry fan. I just happen to like those songs, and that's what I was listening to at the time when I was thinking, let me try to do some covers. I did Teenage Dream first because I thought, wouldn't it be cool to do a piano cover of a pop song and put that up on YouTube? No one would have ever thought of that. But, of course, once I did that and I look on YouTube, I realize 1,000 people have already thought of that before I did. So it really wasn't special. And then Firework was just it was on the radio at the time. And I thought that's a really good, catchy pop song. And I could do a good arrangement of that because when I do arrangements, and I haven't really done any since, but I thought I want to be as accurate to the recording as I can. I don't want to interpret it excessively. I want to try to recreate what I hear, and that song didn't have too much sonic clutter to sort through.
Mm-hmm.
That's how those came about. I haven't really done any other pop covers. There's a lot of piano artists out there doing covers of pop songs and doing very well with it, but I feel like that's kind of, well, there's enough people doing that, and I'm not really passionate enough about that to invest myself in it. So
yeah.
I'm going to leave that to the other YouTube people, and I'd rather write my own music.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're a great composer and a songwriter, and you should stick with that. What do you think is the difference between, because, I mean, when I was researching you, I was thinking, should I call him a songwriter? Should I call him a composer? What should I define you as? And what would you say is the difference between a composer and a songwriter?
Oh, good question. Well, I call myself on my website, which I update a lot, trying to figure out what to call myself. But I do differentiate, and I say I do both, composing, songwriting. To me, songwriting is writing lyrics to music. And of course, that's a very subjective term. Everyone will have their own definition, but that's what I think of when I say I'm a songwriter. And otherwise, I'm just a composer, you know, composing instrumental music.
So what is your writing process? Do you like try to sit down every day and write or compose? Or is it something that you have to have the inspiration to sit down and do? What's your process?
Good question. There isn't a process. As much as I'm a regimented person and I like schedules, it's so difficult to maintain them. So no, I definitely try to play and practice every day. Doesn't always happen. But when inspiration strikes, I definitely grab it. And once I get a good idea, I will work on that. It's a mix of both. That's kind of a hard question. Every song's different. Some songs come very quickly. Others take months or years, and a lot of just chipping away and trying different things. Meadows of Dan came very quickly. Restless was a lot of working things out over a long time. It's, yes, yeah, so inspiration's great when it strikes, but other times it's just a lot of work.
You've collaborated a couple of times. Do you like the process of collaborating, and is it something you try to seek out, or is it just one of those happy accidents?
I haven't collaborated a lot with my instrumental music, and I'm not seeking that out currently. With songwriting, most of the songs I've written were collaborations, and I do enjoy that. I'm not the type of person who's compelled to pour my heart and soul into verse, but I enjoy the process of writing a song. If I can bounce off of someone else's inspiration, I enjoy writing that way.
Mm-hmm.
We'll seek more of that out.
Yeah. So when you write lyrics or write a song, what comes first, the lyrics or the music?
Music for me, I definitely think musically. Yeah, a lot of my favorite songs, I couldn't even tell you what they're about. I just like the music. Yeah. Since I've started writing lyrics, I pay more attention to them now, but it's definitely music first for me. I feel like that's got to stand on its own.
Uh-huh. On the new CD, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What would you say is your favorite track?
Of my album? Oh, so that's... yeah, that's hard. I mean, I'm biased because I wrote all the... All right. Off the top of my head, I'll say Restless, but I'll give you a different answer every day.
Yeah.
But Restless is good. That song, it really... What I wanted to do with piano, which is have great melody, or what I think are great melodies, but energy and aggression and something that people of all styles could appreciate, you know, it's that the heavy metal fan could appreciate and the pop music fan, and you know, hopefully everyone could find something in.
Yeah. It's a good song too. My favorite cut is Ivory Dance.
Okay, well, it's also probably the shortest one.
I like that one a lot. I like it says piano composing to me. So when I listen to it,
well, I appreciate that. That was the first serious piano composition that I did.
So where did you record this album?
I recorded this with a guy named Martin Olander, who runs MJO Productions in SoCal, California. And I'm trying to plug him. He's a great guy. We met. He was a judge in a songwriting contest that I entered and I won. And my prize was to get some recording time with him. And then once we were there, it went well. And I said, you know, I'm going to do this album. I've been talking about it. I've got the music, and his rates were good, and we clicked. And so that's how that came about. And then he hired me as he runs this production company. He writes for TV and film. So he then brought me on board as one of his session players, which has been great. Did it all with him, and he did a great job.
I know you have plans to do another CD of acoustic music. Is this one going to be more singer-songwriter, or is it going to be more solo guitar? What can we expect for the next CD?
I would really like my next album to be acoustic guitar instrumental. I've got a lot of music just ready to go. I just need the time and the money to get it done. Since I'm moving right now, things are really up in the air for me. So I don't know when that'll happen, but hopefully in 2016. I'm not really pushing myself as a singer-songwriter anymore. I was for a while, but I've decided I'm just going to call myself a songwriter and try to sell my songs to other people. But I might make a singer-songwriter album. I'll see how I feel in the future.
You perform out a lot, or are you doing gigs? I know with your move, you're probably going to have to be looking for new places to play. And
yes, I'm going to have to look for a lot of new things. But people ask me if I play and where and what I do, and I kind of only half jokingly say I play anywhere I can as often as I can, and I do whatever I can get paid for, because I'm trying to make a living. So yeah, I work pretty regularly performing. Most of my gigs are corporate, or they're not me as a solo artist. It's just me as a working musician doing weddings and corporate jobs. So I'm not an active performer as a solo artist composer, but I do aspire to do that.
Yeah. Do you ever get to play your own stuff at those kind of things?
I often sneak my own music in. What's good about the background music gigs, they're not good for your ego because no one's really listening, but you're getting paid a lot of money to basically practice.
Mm-hmm.
I sneak my own music in there a lot. If you're playing a long gig, you can play the same set two or three times, and I'll practice all my songs a lot.
Yeah. So I'm just curious. I know you have such a wide variety of music that you like. Who would you say, other than like say Bruce Springsteen, because you mentioned him earlier, who else are some of your favorite songwriters, even going to classical people too?
Are you talking songwriter as in music and lyrics, or just music in general?
Just music in general.
Well, okay, there are many. I mean, Beethoven's probably my favorite classical composer. Also, Rachmaninoff. I've discovered Chopin. There's a lot of Chopin influence in this album, though you may not hear. You know, Springsteen was big influence and still is. U2, Van Halen, those are biggies. Joe Satriani and Steve Vai.
Great guitar players.
and Metallica, and a big win for me. There's a band called The Fray that I really like, kind of a rock band. I could hear all day listening to things. Those are mm-hmm. big ones. And I liked Tommy Emmanuel for
He's incredible.
He's amazing. I'm all over the map. There's so many. I collect music. Anytime I hear something, I'm like, oh, I want to have one album by that person. So I get more than I can keep track of.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my difficult question that I like to ask a lot of songwriters and performers. What is your favorite song of all time by someone else, and why?
Oh, that's a great question. That's hard, though.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do I have to pick one?
No, not one, but maybe a couple.
I mean, I can think of the songs that have had a big impact on me. Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen. That's the first thing I heard that made me go, oh, music is awesome. I want to make those kind of sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Thunder Road, because that's just such a great, well-crafted song. Let's see, With or Without You by U2, Where the Streets Have No Name. You know, love those songs. Enter Sandman by Metallica. It was the first time that I heard that. It's like, oh, this, I like that. You know, that moved me, and that had a big impact. So much classical music. Rachmaninoff's third piano concerto and the second movement of his second concerto are things I've often come back to. Let's see, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. What else? So many things. Here's a guilty one. There's a song on the radio right now called Stitches by, what's the guy, Shawn Mendes. I don't mind admitting I love that song. I think it's a great pop song. I heard that in the laundromat like a month ago. It's like, that's great. I'm going to get that. Not let my wife know that I'm listening to it, because she would give me a hard time.
Yeah,
I could be here all day listening. So, Master of Puppets by Metallica. That's in my top 10. That's such a great song. I think James Hetfield is a very underrated songwriter. People just hear the volume and the aggression, but it's like he's great. He's a great lyricist, great singer. Really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. He's got some powerful lyrics.
You
remember his stuff when you hear it. Well, James, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me. And I want to tell everyone once again that your website is jameswoolwine.com. It's James, J-A-M-E-S, Wool, W-O-O-L-W-I-N-E, woolwine.com. And you can find James's music on CD Baby. And you can also look him up on Facebook and like him there as well. Is there anything else you needed to add and wanted to promote?
I cannot think of anything. I mean, I could shoot my mouth off about a lot, but I better not do that. So no, I'll just leave it at that.
Once again, jameswoolwine.com. He's got a great website, and you can find out more about James and his musical history and what he's done musically over the years. And pick up this album, Solo Piano Destruction. It's a great CD to listen to while you're driving in your car or working around the house or whatever. And I recommend it highly, if not just for the album cover alone. It's very cool. So thanks again, James. And I'll be looking forward to hearing the new CD. I'm looking forward to hearing your guitar stuff, because I know you sent us one song of your singer-songwriter stuff, but I haven't heard any of the other your guitar things, so I'd be interested in hearing that.
Well, I hope that you will very soon. I'm definitely going to be working on that hard.
All right. Well, good luck with the move. And we'll be hearing more from James Woolwine in the very near future. Thank you again.
Thank you, Kathy. Take care.